Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Tanis Daf Yutes. We begin the third parak today at the Mishnah Yud Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Seder Taniyos Eil. We discussed a whole system of fast days. If there was a delay in the rain season arriving, we started with a group of three fast days, followed by another group of three, topped off by seven fast days, which were the most severe and serious of them all. During those fast days, we blow the shofar, we add brachos to the tefillah, we don't do malacha. They are reminiscent of Tisha B'Av. So we take drastic measures when it gets really serious. Says the Mishnah, this sequence of fast days, this build up, three, another three, and the most severe, the most chomer, or the last seven, Seder Tarnias Elu HaMurim B'Ravia Rishayna. It only applies to the first rain season, which got delayed. So there's a rain shortage, a rain delay. We go up in sequence. We start with simple fasting, and we add more and more drastic measures to our efforts to achieve results. Avol Smacham Shashino, but let's say we see an abrupt change of Teva, a Shini HaTeva in front of our face, not just a rain delay. Smacham Shashino. The wheat was growing, suddenly it turns into, we don't have wheat, we have thorns, we have inedible grain. Ma'asriin Alein Miyad. Right away you pull out the punches. We go straight to the most severe and drastic efforts. We go straight to Masri'in, Taisa says. We jump straight to the last seven fast days. All the chumras are applied. Ritva explains, we see a clear sign from Shemayim. There's something terribly wrong. It's really critical. It's not just a delay in the arrival of the rain. Something's totally abnormal, unnatural. It's a simon of a drastic einish. It's critical. And we resort to the most extensive effort to bring about tshuva and kapora and change in situation. So the word masriyan is referring to the type of fast days that we do all the way at the end. Those seven fast days, no malacha, no nilas sandal, sikh, all those halachis. We daven extra, we blow the shofar. So we go straight into that right away. V'chein, another couple examples. Suddenly there's a rain stoppage. So it's not a raining. It's a break of 40 days. Something abnormal, unnatural. In a drastic way. It's clearly a famine. It's a makkah. A very serious dimensions. Here come another couple examples. It's raining but just trickling for the plants. It's not coming down in force to help the trees, where the rain has to penetrate deeper to hit the roots of the trees. Or le'ilam, it's coming down in force, which benefits the trees, but it doesn't really help the plants. It's too strong for the plants. Or le'zeh, you have drizzling or you have heavy rains, but not enough to fill the reservoirs. So once again, this is a shini hateva, something unnatural, out of the ordinary, something striking. Masrin alei miyad, right away, we go into high gear. We do the most severe measures. V'chein ir, another example. One city has rain, and next door there's no rain. Or in the same city, half and half, something unnatural. V'chein ir shelo yardu alei geshamim. It's not raining in one city, but next door it is. D'chsiv v'mtarti al achas. One city will have rain. Next city won't have rain. Or half of the city will have rain, not the other. So what do we do? The city itself, which has no rain, misana umasras, fast, and that's true. They go straight into high gear. The neighboring towns, who are suffering somewhat as well, because although it's raining, but their supplies will be depleted by the hungry city. Misana isvulemasrias. They participate partially. They fast, but they don't blow it like the like Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Masriyas Vlemis Anis. They blow, but they don't fast. according to the Rishalmi, Tanakhama learns it's like Yom Kippur. Or Kippur says it's like Rosh Hashanah. So the city itself, which is severely affected, goes into high gear. Neighboring towns participate somewhat. V'chein ir sheyesh bo dever ha-mepolis, or a city which is experiencing a devil, a dever, a plague or ha-mepolis. Buildings are collapsing. Windstorms are knocking down the buildings. V'yiso ir misana umasras. That city goes into high gear. Tanis, Trua, v'chol sivaseh, and the surrounding cities who hear the bad news and are concerned that perhaps it's going to spread to them as well. Misanois, v'loy masrius. They fast without blowing. Rabbi Kiva Omer, the other way around, Masriya Islam is anu, blowing without fasting. Ezehu dever, how do you quantify a plague? Based on the following formula, you see a pattern developing. Ir hamitziyah chamish meis ragli, a city which has 500 adults, 500 men, v'yotzu mimenu gimel meisim, and it produced 3 dead people, b'gimel yom zerachazeh, 3 days, one after the other. That's a dever. How is a dever? Sunday somebody dies unnaturally, suddenly. Same Monday, same Tuesday. That's a dever. Pachas mikam, but less than that, less than 3 people, or 3 people but less than 3 days. So it's a freak thing. It's not a pattern, unless it's one day, the next, and again the next. Pachas mikam, less than that, ain't a dever. It doesn't qualify as dever. Al elu masrin b'chol makim. If we're experiencing the following conditions, they go into high gear wherever, even faraway towns, because these conditions can easily spread. Ala shedafan, wind-blown grain, blown away, dried up by the suddenly winds. Vala yirakain, an illness where people's complexion turns green. Vala arba vala chasal, types of grasshoppers. Vala chayara, wild animals at surface. Vala cheref, attacking troops that are attacking. Masrin aleya, they go straight into high gear. Ibnishi makam halachas. It's a traveling makkah. It can spread. Today it's here, tomorrow it's there. So everybody in the vicinity, everybody in that kingdom, in that malchus, in that country, or perhaps anybody that heard about it, should be concerned that it's going to get to them. And therefore they have to do tshuva. There was a story to prove this. Masa shiyardu zakeinim Yerushalayim. Le'orayim. The Dayanim of the Bezna Gadol came down from Yerushalayim back to their cities in Eretz Yisrael. Because Rutanis, they established a fast day. Why? Al Shanir Kimloi Pi Tanur Shidofin Bashkelon, in the town of Ashkelon, which was technically out of Eretz Yisrael's borders, they noticed some grain which experienced a Shidofin, this blowout, this drying up, and it was just a small amount, enough to produce some dough to fill up Maloi Pi Tanur, the opening of an oven. A very minute amount of shidofen. And it was outside Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, they applied a tannis throughout all the cities of Eretz Yisrael because it's something that can spread, it's contagious. Another story. V'oid goes with tannis, they applied another tannis, al sha'achu z'evim, because wolves devoured shnei tinoikis be'var yardin. 2 babies, 2 little kids, 2 toddlers, on the other side of the yard and outside Eretz Yisrael. But once again, it's something that can travel, that can spread. And everybody has to be concerned. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo yosha achu, they didn't eat the tinoikas, ela shal niru. Rather, the wolves were merely observed roaming the city. Generally, they don't roam inhabited areas, something unnatural, abnormal. It was sufficient grounds to make a tanis. Al ilu masrin b'shabbos. During the following conditions, we do masrin, Rashi says. Here, masrin doesn't mean blowing shofar or fasting. Ba'anein, we call it Hashem, in tefillah and slichos, even if it's on Shabbos. Al-Eilu Masrim Shabbos, Al-Ir Sheikifu Nachrim, a city that was surrounded by attacking Nachrim. Oynar, surrounded by a flooding river. Val-Svinam Terefes Bayam, a ship that's being thrown about to sink at sea. You can congregate, call it Hashem in earnest, in desperation. But you see, Omer, it's Shabbos. You can't do that. La Ezra, you can call for help if you want. SOS. Velutz, Akabanat. Calling out to Hashem, rather, every individual does so privately and quietly. Otherwise, it interferes with the covered Shabbos. Shimon Atimini Omer, Afal Adever. The same thing applies to a plague which happens on Shabbos. Velutz, Chacham didn't agree. The Gemara will explain. So far we learned two things. One is a sudden, abrupt change of teva that requires going straight into high gear. We learned about various conditions that perhaps can spread from one locale to the other. Everybody has to share the concern. Al kol tzara shelo tovei latzibur, any tzara that should not come. It's a way of saying, chas v'shalom, any tzara that arrives. Masrin aleihen. They go straight into high gear, they daven, they fast, all those things that we discussed. Chutz meroiv gisham, except for too much rain, which makes it difficult. It's not flooded, but it's inconvenient. We don't complain about that. Rain is, in essence, a bracha. You don't complain when you have too much bracha. Ma'asa she'omru loy l'choyni ha'ma'agel. It was a ma'asa, and they turned to a tzaddik choyni, who was called choyni ha'ma'agel, as we'll soon see why. His balal she'yer du gesham. There's no rain. Down to Hashem for rain. Amar lehem, he turned to them. He was so confident in the power of tefillah. So go out v'achnisam, bring back in. Tanurei Pesachim, the clay ovens used for the Korban Pesach. Bring them indoors. Bishvil shalayim yimayku. So that they don't dissolve in the rain that's about to come. His spalal he davened to Hashem, but lo yardu gesham, there was no rain. Ma'asa, what did he do? Og uga. He drew a circle in the ground around himself. Va'amar b'soicha, positioned himself inside that circle. Va'amar l'fanav, he turned to Hashem. Ribbono shel olam, b'necha samu pneim alai. Your children, turn to me. Sha'ani ki ben bayis l'fanecha. I'm regarded like a member of your household who has pull with you. Nishbani b'shimcha gadol. I swear in your great name. She'ani zoz mikan. I'm not leaving this circle. Achet terachem al b'necha until you have rachmanis on your children. He's chilu g'shamim in atfim. Started drizzling. Omar, he turned to Hashem, loy kach sha'alti. It's not what I asked for. Elo gishmi b'iris, sichnam aris. Just a drizzle, that's not enough. I need rain that's going to fill the reservoirs. His chidu leir bezav. It started coming down full force, too strong. Omar, once again, he says, loy kach sha'alti. This is not what I had in mind. Elo gishmi rotzoin. Bracha v'nadava, something balanced. An expression of goodwill, of favor. Yodah ketiknan. So it started raining normally, not too strong, not too soft, the way it was meant to be. And Yerushalayim got so flooded with rain, actually Yotsu Yisrael, Yerushalayim, they had to leave the lowlands, low-lying area of Yerushalayim, to the higher ground, Lahar HaBayis, Mipnei HaGesham, to get away from those rains. So they came to complain, stop the rain. Bov Armuloy, they came to him and they said, Kishem Shesbalat Aleim Sheyardu, just like you daven for rain, please daven that the rain should stop. Amalem, so he said, absolutely not. We don't complain about rain. And he expressed himself like this. He says, Zuru, why don't you go and take a look? There was a big boulder called Evan HaToyin on top of our mountain where somebody would stand and announce an item that he found. So this was on top of the mountain. He says, look, go out there and see whether that boulder was washed away. Until that happens, don't complain. Shalach le'shimun ben Shatach. Shimun ben Shatach was an av bezin. He wasn't happy about this conversation. About how Choni Ma'agel presented his request to Hashem in a very direct way. So he sent him a message. Ilmali Choni Atah. He meant to know that if not for the fact that you are chayni and a chash of a person who I have respect for, I would have applied a chayram to you, Rashi says. It was a little bit disrespectful to Hashem to speak that way. What could I do to you? You sort of bug Hashem in a slightly disrespectful way, and he still responds to you in kind. He fills your wishes. Like a son who bugs his father. And the father fulfills his request. And the pasuk is a fitting description of you. The one who bore you, your father and mother, should be full of joy and nachas for having such a son. Suppose they're fasting and suddenly it's raining. Do they stop their fast? Well, it depends. Depends if the fast was already activated. It was already set in motion. Koidim anitzachamo. If it's raining before nates, before daybreak, in which case the fast day was not yet activated, lo yashlimu, they don't continue fasting. Lach anitzachamo. But once it's after anitzachamo. And as Mepharshim explained, some people will sit down to have something to eat at that point. And since they haven't done that, they skipped that snack, so we regard it as though the tanis has already been activated. It's on track. And therefore, yashlimu. You have to just continue going. We learned that the other day. You don't make deals with Hashem. Perhaps it was because they were committed to this fast day that it's not already. So you just continue once you started. So although technically, in halacha, day starts with alois ha-shachar, not netzachama, but the explanation here is, as we mentioned, because it's all dependent upon whether they skipped a meal, whether the fast day was actually activated. And Eitz HaChama is a good measure of that. Rav Lezer Oymer, no, depends on Chatzos. Koidim Chatzos, if it's raining before Chatzos, lo yashlimu, stop right there, they don't have to fast. La Chatzos, but it's already after Chatzos. Chatzos was a time when Tamid HaChamim would sit down for their first meal. They would wait until 6th hour in the day to push off their physical needs. Weaken their Yetzirah. So Chatzos is a time of Su'udav HaTamid HaChamim, and everybody's drawn after them, meaning, if it's still before Chatzos and Tamid HaChamim haven't technically really started their fast yet, it's still before their breakfast time, then the Tanis has not yet been activated. But if it's L'Acha Chatzos, in which case, even Tamid HaChamim have already skipped their breakfast, the fast has been implemented, Yashlimu, they have to keep on going. Ma'asa, there was a story, she goes with Tanis Belud. There was a Tanis in the town of Lud. V'yored l'hem v'yashem, going to Chatzos. It started raining before Chatzos. Omalem Rabbi Tarfon, who apparently held like Rabbi Lezer, that Chatzos is the trigger point. So he tells them, cancel the fast. Tzu, v'yachlevish tzu, go out, eat and drink, have a good time. V'asu yomtev, make a yomtev. V'asu yomtev. V'yotzu v'achlev v'shosu, v'asu yomtev. And they followed his instructions, ate and drank, made a holiday, made a celebration. Ubo ben arbaim in the afternoon, when they were in a good mood, I came back to the shul, the karu, halal hagadol, and they went through the halal hagadol, which is the psukim of hoy l'Hashem ki tov, kelam chazoy, hoydu l'elokei elokim, the 26 hoydus. It's called halal hagadol. Gemara Pesachim explains this because it contains reference to Hashem providing every single person's sustenance, every person's needs, noyisen lechem l'chol basar, as truly expression of Hashem's greatness, to attend to every minor detail of this world, and supplies with our physical needs. And they came back and they went through Halal Gadol in celebration of the surprise rain. Says the Gemara. So the Mishnah began with Seder Taniyah Se'elu Ha'omor B'Revi'ah Rishayna, which sounds like the Mishnah is telling you as follows. You see, back a couple of days ago we learned about Yoyre, which is the first rain season, Cheshvan time, and Malkush, last and final segment of rain during Nisan time. Now, the Yoyre has 3 points, 3 installments, so to speak. Yoyre Rishayna, Yoyre Shnia, Yoyre Shlishis, which are pegged onto various dates, depending on those shitas we had, or Meir, Abyesi, etc. Now, we also learned that sometimes you can have a slight delay in the oncoming of the rain season. That doesn't qualify for a tanis. You need to wait until all 3 points of the Yod Rishayna were passed by without rain. Our Mishnah sounds like it's saying, Seder Taniyah Se'elu Ha'omer Revi'ah Rishayna. Right in the beginning, the first point of the Revi'ah necessitates tanis. Ramini. Of a Braisa, which clearly tells us otherwise. Have patience. Wait until the entire Yoyre is over. Revi'ah Rishayna Vishnei Lishol. First and second points of the Revi'ah, the first rain season. No time for asking. For asking patiently. Shlishis Lishanis. Oh. If you have the third point of the Yoyre and there's no rain, so some individuals, the Tamid Chacham, start fasting, but only later does the Tzibur start fasting. How could our Mishnah say otherwise? It sounds from our Mishnah, we start fasting right in the beginning of the Yoyre, when there's no rain. No, the Mishnah meant the same thing. Say the Taniyah Samur. Those systems, those sets of fasting When are they said? Amosai. That's when there's just a delay in the arrival of rain. Bizman shiyotza revira shoina, ushnio shlishis vlayodu gisham. So we pass through the whole section, the whole yoyra, first, second, and third points of that yoyra. Now it's time to fast. And that's what the Mishnah was referring to. Revira shoina means the first rain season. Of course, all those points of the yoyra. It's also past the first rain season with no rain. Then the fast days kick in. That's because it was a rain delay. But if there was an abrupt change of teva, something totally unnatural, visibly disturbing, then we go straight into high gear right away. Let's say it did start rain. Berivir Shaina. So it's starting to rain, but something's really, really out of the norm. They planted, and nothing's growing well. Inami, samchu b'chazim nishtanu, or it's growing, and suddenly everything's getting ruined, turning into inedible grain. It's just turning into weeds. Masrin alei miyat. That is sufficient grounds to go straight into high gear. The most severe fast days will result in drastic measures to effect change. Amar v'nachman davka nishtanu. That's only when things changed on you. So the grain looks unhealthy. Amal yav shuloi, but if it's totally dried up, there's no point in fasting, it's over. Rashi says, tfilas shav. It's futile, there's nothing to ask for, it's all dried up, it's dead. Pshita, of course, nishtanu tanan. Mishnah speaks about a change, a deviation from the norm, but it's still something that can regenerate. What's the chiddush of Nachman? It's clear in the Mishnah that Yavshu would not justify Tanis. L'tzricha de'akon. Rav Nachman is speaking about a case where you see some takana, Rashi says, akon, you see some potential for regrowth, for revitalization. It's partially dry, but you see some sign of life in it. Maldatema, perhaps I would say, Akanta Milsi, that's considered worthy enough of davening for it. Perhaps it can regenerate the growth. Kamashmon, the Chiddush is no. Once it's mostly dry, there's no point in davening. Another example of something critical is a sudden rain stoppage. V'chein sheposku yishomim v'geshem v'geshem. Mishnah calls it makas betzuris. They're being hit by a famine. My makas betzuris, what does that mean? Omrav Yehuda, omrav makam avio de betzuris. Look, currently it's not so critical, but we see something's totally amiss. Something's way off track. They're being struck by something which can bring very easily to a famine. Famine, that's dangerous. We go straight into high gear. Omrav Nachman, nahara anahara, betzuris. Suppose they can bring supplies from the next town over. Through the river. Betzuris. That's considered a low-level hunger. It's not really a famine yet, which requires drastic measures, because the food can easily be transported from one town to the other. Medinta, medinta, but if there's nothing in this whole country, and they have to bring it to the next neighboring country, that's kafna, the true famine. And she says, there's no rivers to transport. You have to bring it overland through donkeys, through trucks. It's not an easy job. And that is fraught with difficulty, and that's called a kafna, a true famine which requires drastic measures. Atis explains, although a minute ago we said that when there's a 40-day break in the rain, it's called betzuris, which is something that requires drastic measures. And here we say, no, nahara b'nahara, betzurta. It's just a betzuris, a low-level hunger, and it's not something that requires drastic measures. What is betzurta? Is it severe? Well, not severe. So Tezis says the word betzerta technically is referring to something lighter. We spoke about a 40-day rain stop being called betzeris. It's a makas betzeris, which means they're being hit by a hunger which can go ahead, which has all the signs that it's leading into something really grave and serious because it's something so unnatural. And that's why we have to take it seriously and go into high gear. Varum Chanina, so'a b'sela u'shchicha. Suppose food prices are very high. Generally do a 4 sa'a of grain going for a sela. Here it's 1 sa'a per sela. Very expensive, but u'shchicha. It's available. You can find it. B'tzorta. So it's called a b'tzoris. It's a hunger, but it's not a famine. Arbov u'shchicha kafla. Suppose prices are standard, 4 sa'a per sela, pretty cheap. There's no food to find. There's nothing available. That's called a kafna, it's a true famine. So it's not a question of price, it's a question of availability. When do we say that it's all a question of, we say if it's sa'a b'sela, it's not so bad. Right? Because it's shchiach. When it's arba b'sela, it's terrible because it's not shchiach. Says Rabbi Yochanan, lo yishonu al bezman shamos bezoil uperes b'yoyker. So we say that even if it's expensive, it's not called it's not a famine. So even though it's sa'a b'sela, food prices are very high, it's available. So it's not considered a famine. That's only bezman shamos bezoil uperes b'yoyker. So all the pears are biyaka, they're expensive, but the moyas are easily accessible. Business is flourishing. People have money to spend. So all the food prices are high. Okay. Aval moyas biyaka, the pears bezoil. But let's say it's the other way around. Pears bezoil, food is cheap, but moyas are biyaka. Money is hard to come by. There's no money available. People have no funds to buy that food. So even if it's cheap, you can't find food. There's no money to buy. Ma'asrina le'miyah, they go straight into high gear. Damar b'yechanan, I hear now. I remember when I was younger, and I lived in Tver, okay, I had a havel, kai midalitz in besela. Food was relatively cheap. It was reasonably priced, 4 sa'a per sela. And people were dying right and left. Vavu nefishi. There were so many nefichei kafan, those who expired from hunger, b'tveria, in the city of Tver. Why? All the food was cheap, but the less iser, there was no coins. There was no iser. Iser was a coin. So, it's all a matter of circumstance. If food is accessible, funds are accessible, then it's not terrible. But otherwise, it's certainly considered a severe situation that qualifies as a famine. So, we just spoke of an example where it's rainy, but not in a beneficial way. So the plants are benefiting but not the trees. The trees are not the plants. Both are benefiting but not the reservoirs. How does this come about? You can have a case where plants use it, but the trees don't have from it. That's to be found. You have soft rains, but not forceful. That helps the plants, but doesn't get down to the tree roots. Likewise, l'ilan v'leit smachem, you have rains which help the trees but not the plants. Da'asya razya, you have strong rain. V'le'asya nicha, not pleasant rains. That helps the trees but knocks over the plants. Third case is l'ze l'ze, it helps the trees and the plants. V'le'i l'boyroiz, v'le'i l'sichan amaris, but not the reservoirs. How is that? Mishkachas lo, that's in the following case. Da'asya razya v'nicha, you have strong rains for the trees. V'nicha, soft rains for the plants. But it's not sustained, it's not enough to fill the reservoirs. So this we understand. What about the following brisa, which describes a case as follows? You have enough rain to fill all the water pits, all the reservoirs, all the cisterns, but it's not going to help the trees or the plants. How's that to be found? It's raining non-stop. How can the trees and the plants not have any use from it? We're speaking that it's just spilling, it's coming full force, too strong for plants or trees. So it's filling up the reservoirs, but that's about it. Tanu Rabban, Masrina alei lanos, b'freis ha-Pesach. Getting close to Pesach, when the trees are meant to bloom, start growing, and things are not growing properly. They go straight into high gear, Masrin, b'freis ha-Pesach. Freis means half. Half of that 30-day preparatory period before Pesach. Alabur v'zichnamar. Suppose the reservoirs are empty. So we do masrin for that cause. Afilu v'preisachag, even if it's still before Sukkot, 15 days before Sukkot, because potentially we can have rain then as well. So we ask for rain right then. V'alkulon, in any case, im ein lohen mayim lishtos. Suppose they're totally out of water. Masrin alei miyad, they start right away. With Masrin. Bezo miyad shalem. What does that mean, miyad? Right away, tonight? A Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? No. We wait for the next Monday. Which is the way Taniyos are properly established. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. We never start on a Thursday, as we explained, to avoid a mad rush to the stores. And we know that fast days are specific to Monday and Thursday. Yimei Ratzon. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. He came down from Shemayim those days. So wait for the next opportunity, the next month. Val kulan, in all these cases, ain't masrin alein, ela ba parchia shalem. We only do masrin in that province that's experiencing the hardship. However, va'askara, if they're experiencing this illness called askara, bizman sheyesh b'misa, when it's causing death and is contagious, it can spread, masrin ala. Not only in that town are they concerned, in the surrounding areas as well, throughout the entire Malchus, entire country. They are Masrin. There's Man She'en Ba Misa, when there's no Misa being generated from this illness, Ein Masrin Aleha, they don't have to do Masrin. Masrin Ala Goyvai B'Kolshu. Whenever they get news about just one grasshopper, a Goyvai, showing up somewhere, everybody in the area takes it seriously, they are Masrin. Because friend brings a friend, soon it's going to fill up with Goyvais. Rav Shimon also Omer afal chagav, even a chagav which is more commonly cited in these areas, it still is a reason for concern. You just see a small measure of these chagavim, you have to take it seriously. Tana Rabbanon, what about being masriya on shmita? Masrin alaylonis bishnar bisharshne shavua, when the trees aren't growing well, they weren't watered properly. We have masriya throughout the 6 years of the Shemitah system, but not on Shemitah itself. Why? Says the Chazon Ish. We want to show that we're relying on Hashem's bracha. Hashem promised us in the Torah that the sixth year's crop will last us until number eight. We don't want to appear like we're not confident in Hashem's bracha. We're not relying on Hashem's bracha. And we're davening for rain on Shemitah. So we keep away from that on Shemitah. However, suppose the reservoirs need to be filled up, then you can ask even on Shemitah. It's unrelated to growth. You just need it for its water supply. You know what? You can ask for rain to benefit the trees even on Shemitah. Because poor people get their sustenance from trees on Shemitah. It's hefker. Tani idach, another brisa, masrin alei lanes b'shnas sheshavua. So during the shar shnei shavua, we ask Hashem, we have masriya, so it rains to benefit the trees, but not on Shemitah itself. However, ala b'iris, ala shechon am aris, to fill up all the water holes, afilu b'shviz, then we take to it even on Shemitah. Rabba and Shem gamle leimer, afay lanes masrin, even for the sake of the trees, we have masriya even on Shemitah, and also ala svicham b'shviz, svicham adi, wild growths, the grain, whatever that's growing on Shemitah, and we have to ask that those are successful too. Why? Although it's hefker, because it's meant to feed the ani. Tanya, Omer b'lezben part. Miyom shechurav beis hamikdash. From the day of the churban, na sugish shamim tzimukim loilam. Everything changed. Rain became tzimukim, like raisins, dried up, shriveled, inconsistent. Yeishana shegir shmeh merubin. There's a year we have lots of rain. Yeishana, another year, shegir shmeh mu'atan, little rain. Yeishana shmeh yodim izman. One year, we have the rain on time. Yeishana, yet another year, shegir shmeh yodim izman. It's not on time. Shana shegir shmeh yodim izman. A year on which it rains on time. You know what it's compared to? an Eved, whose owner gave him his entire week's allotment on Sunday in a timely fashion. Gives him enough time to prepare it properly, grind it properly, bake his bread properly. Nimtzis isa nefes ketikna. So his dough, his bread, he produced properly, high quality, and will benefit him the way it's meant to be. V'nechelas ketikna, be eaten properly, consumed properly, he will have maximum benefit from his allotment. Because he had enough time to prepare it properly, to produce high quality bread. The same with rain. It rains on time. Things grow properly. There's enough time to prepare it, to grind it, to produce our bread without frenzy and low quality. However, Shana She'eng Shemeh Yod Mizman, on a year where the rain is not on time. Then once it rains, everything's haphazard, in a frenzy, in a hurry. Things aren't produced properly. What's that compared to? An Eved whose master gave him his weekly allotment at the end of the week, last minute, giving him very little time to prepare it, to grind it, to sift, to produce his bread properly. Him says, Isa, nefesh leketikna. This fellow's bread won't be produced properly. V'nechalash leketikna. Will not feed him properly, not satiate him properly. Another analogy. Shana shekel shamea merubim. On a year where we have lots of rain. That's good. It comes all at once. It's raining properly. And even if you have some runoff, some evaporation, some drying up of rain, we have enough there to saturate, to generate growth. We have something to show for it. What's that compared to? An Eved whose Rebbe gave him everything he needs in one shot. He gave him the full measure of grain. Here, take your week's allotment. So now he has less overhead. Why? He's going to have to grind it in a grinder, and the millstones are going to eat up something. Let's say 2 ounces get lost per grinding session. Irrelevant if you have a small amount of wheat being ground or lots of wheat being ground. It's the same loss. The same 2 ounces get lost each time you use the millstones. So if he gets his full measure, his full shear of grain at once and grinds it at once, he's going to have the same amount of overhead were he to do it incrementally. Do it in 5 stages. Each time he'll have another overhead. He'll end up losing so much more. Nimtzu rechaim teichnais or eichlais minakur. It so happens that the rechaim, the millstones, eat away, they swallow up a certain amount from a kur, a huge amount of wheat. The millstones take away a bit. The same amount that they'll eat away from a calf. So basically what he's saying is, better do it all at once and have the same overhead, the same 2 ounces to get lost, but it's just a one-time loss as opposed to doing it a calf at a time, 120 calf in a core. So you're grinding 100 times over and every time you're going to lose 2 ounces. Another advantage is, Vinim says, Isa, Rashi says the Isa is referring to the kneading bowl, which absorbs some of that dough. The name says, Isa Echeles Menakur. The kneading bowl will eat away, will absorb a certain measure, a certain given measure, irrelevant of how much dough is in there. You have a huge amount of kur. It's going to eat up the same amount, Kamisha Echeles Menakav, as it was just a small measure of dough, kav. So conserve, economize, do it all at once. So if he gets it all at once, he can conserve and conserve his overhead. But if he has to do it a little at a time, as he gets it from his master, every time he grinds, every time he needs, he's going to lose a bit. That's a waste. Same thing by rains. Shona sheg shomeh muat. A year in which it rains just pitifully, a little at a time. Uma odaima. What is it compared to? Le'evet shenosn li'rabi parnasasim at ma'at. It's like the Eved getting a bit of his parnasa, Sunday a bit, Monday a bit, Tuesday a bit. He ends up losing so much more. Every time he grinds, he has that overhead. He has that loss. Nimtzu rechaim asher teichas min hakur, teichas min hakav. The same amount that the rechaim eats away from the kur, eats from the kav. He does the kav over and over. Every time, he loses a little percentage. Nimtzu isa, same thing regarding the kneading bowl. Kamasha necheles min hakur, echeles min hakav. The same amount that gets lost when you have a huge dough, a kur, gets lost when you have a kav. That's going to have the same loss over and over. It's multiplied tenfold. The same thing when it comes to rain, Rashi explains. There's runoff, there's absorption, evaporation, which is inevitable. So you get a full, huge measure of rain, so you have just one loss. You just get a little today, a little tomorrow. Every time you have runoff, evaporation, you end up getting much less at the end. Another comparison, another mashal. When you have an abundance of rain arriving at once, what's that compared to? Like a person mixing some cement. He has a full supply of water. He doesn't run out of water. And his cement gets properly mixed. So it accounts for runoff and evaporation, but he's still left with enough water to properly mix his cement. However, he just has a bit of water. He loses his water through evaporation, absorption, runoff. He's left with improperly mixed cement. Pamachas olu kol Yisrael l'regel. So what happens one year, all of Yisrael came up to Yerushalayim, ali l'regel. Olu kol Yisrael l'regel li Yerushalayim. V'lo yehoi lehem mayim lishtes. They have no water to drink. It was an ongoing drought, no water. Holach Nakdiman ben Gurion. Nakdiman ben Gurion, who was a very wealthy fellow, went ahead and struck a deal with a non-Jewish officer. Etzel Odoin Echad. Amalei tells him, Halveini shtem esrei mayonis mayim. Could you loan me 12 springs, 12 wells filled with water? Rashi says, apparently these wells were not self-sufficient, wouldn't really self-generate. So let me have those 12 wells. Lo eli regalim, shall give to the other regalim. 12, perhaps one per shevet. Masha says, b'schus the 12 shvatim, I'm going to have enough to pay you back. Let me have them. In the meantime, vani etancha, and I promise to give you back. Shtei mesrei enos mayim, 12 wells filled with water, filled to the brim. It's going to rain and fill up the wells. Otherwise, I don't give you back water, I'll pay you for it. I'll give you 12 kikar, large measures of silver. They set a deadline. Once the deadline arrived, there's no rain. Right in the morning, the guy sends a message to Nakdiman. Pay up. Either send me back my water or my money. Shochlis, Nakdima sends it back. Hey, the day is still young. I'm dying. Yeshli Zman. I still have plenty of time. Kol ayam kula shaliyu. The day is mine, meaning deadline hasn't arrived. But Sarayim. Okay, so lunchtime. Once again, the messenger arrives. Shalachli. Nakdima gets a messenger with a message. Shagili oimai moimois. Sheshli biyotcha. Please, either water or money. Shochlan, Nakdiman sends back. Adayin yeshli shos b'yayim. What do you mean? There's plenty of time left. So Masha explains. The guy held, they set a time up until this day. Ad v'lo yad b'chlal. Not including that day. So as soon as morning arrived, deadline's over. Nakdiman said no. Up until and including that day. Ad v'ad b'chlal. Okay, that settled the first dispute. Then lunchtime, the guy decided, you know what? Better machlekes. I hold, deadline was last night. You say, including today, let's make a compromise. Half and half. So he says, no. Till the end of the day. Okay, but mincha. So he finally waited. Finally, mincha arrives. End of the day. He says, okay, now, there's no question. Pay up. Deadline arrived. Sholach Lai sends him a message. Shagali, send me oymaim, either water or oymois. She should be able to all the money that I have by you. Sholach Lai, once again, he responds, Adayin yeshli shos. Beyond, I still have plenty of time. Ligleg olav oisei adayin, this adayin, started mocking Nakdiman. Omar, he says, look, what are you expecting? Rain in 5 minutes? The entire year, there's no rain inside. Now you expect rain? The guy was preparing for a party. He went to the bathhouse. He's expecting a large return on his deal. While the other was busy in the Beis HaMerchatz, Nakdimoy nichnas le Beis HaMikdash. Kishu Otsev. Nakdimoy goes to the Beis HaMikdash, all sad. Farshim say, he figured that the schus of nisach hamayim besimcha in the Beis HaMikdash will supersede the simcha of the guy, will bring about a bracha, a schus. This atev, he wrapped himself with a talis, v'amar b'tfila, and starts davening. Amar l'rafanav, he tells Hashem, Rebbeinu shalom, kol v'yadu l'fanecha. You know full clearly. Shalom l'chvoyed yasisi, I didn't do it for my own honor. V'lo l'chvoyed beis abba asisi, not for my family. El l'chvoyed chasisi, I did it for your sake. Shayu my mitzuyim l'ilur gulm, supply the ilur gulm with water. Please Hashem, respond to my tefillah. Miyad niskashu shamayim b'avim, suddenly, it's cloudy. Rain clouds arrived. V'yordu gisham, it started raining. Ashen ismalu, shteim esrei mayon ismayim. Until all 12 wells were filled to the brim, v'yisira, they spilled over. So you got more than he asked for. Ashen yotze odin beis amerchitz. Suddenly the odin starts leaving the beis amerchitz. And while he's leaving, Nagdimon Ben Gurion yotze beis amegdash. Nagdimon is on his way out of the beis amegdash. And they greet each other. They bump into each other in the street. When they bumped into each other, Amar Loi, so Nagdimon turns to the other in a joking manner. He says, I think you owe me. Tain li dmei mayim. Pay for that water, yaiser, the extra water. Sheish li biyotcha, that I have by you. I give you back more than you gave me. Amar Loi, so the non-Jewish fellow realized he had been had, but he insisted on getting paid. Money blinds a person. Amalai, he tells him, look, I understand what happened. Yehudiani, I know full and well. This is something unnatural. This is a miraculous phenomenon. Yehudiani, shalai, hirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Selamai, ela b'shvilcha. The only reason why Hashem shook up his world was for you. The nes was done for your sake. Ela adayin yeshli pischein pe'alach, but I still have a claim on you. She'oitim mechas ma'aysai, to collect my money. Why? He got back his water. What's the claim? Shukvar shokachama. Look, it's after shkia. It's nighttime. Day is over. Deadline passed. Ugsham birshusi yardu. It rained, sure, but birshusi in my domain, my territory, after deadline. Asks the marsha. What is he blind? He has reality staring him in the face. It's a nace from Hashem. Something so unnatural, abnormal. Hashem paid him back. He's insisting on getting paid. Hashem answers something. The bottom line is, money blinds a person. It's all nice and well. Hashem's nice. Hirish HaSalamai. Everything's great, but you owe me the money. So what did Nagdimon do? He couldn't prove that it was still daytime because it was very dark. It was cloudy with heavy clouds, with dark clouds. He couldn't tell that it was still day. Chazav Nichas Beis HaMikdash. So he visits Beis HaMikdash again, second time. Nis'atev Amar B'tfilah, starts davening, V'amar L'fanav, he turns to Hashem, Ribbono Shel'olam, Hoida, please inform, publicize, advertise, She'yesh Lecha Ahuvim B'Olamecha, you have those that are beloved to you. Do something to show that. Miyad, immediately, Nis'bazru Ha'ovim. Clouds dispersed, V'zor Ha'achama, you see the sun shining, it's clear. Day was not over. Bois HaShoah, Amar Lo Ya'adoin. So, the Adoin was compelled to admit, and he says, Ilu loy nigdur achama, if not for the fact that the sun shone through, hoyli pischan pealecha shoytzim mechem ma'isai, I would have had a claim on you to extract my money. But now, nothing I can do. It's clear that it's not yet day over. Tana, we learned on the brayso, loy nagdimin shemoy. His name wasn't really Nagdimon, ela Buni shemoy. Rather, his name was Buni. Lo menekishmoy Nagdimon. Why then was he called Nagdimon? She nikdura chama bavure. Nikdura Rashi says zorcha. The chama, the sun shone through on his behalf, shone through the clouds. And somewhere in Marsha Bach suggests perhaps nikdema, like magdem, it advanced the night, meaning it lengthened, it hung around, it delayed. Meaning the sun stayed still in Shemayim until this whole business transaction was over, and still it was proven that Nagdimon is in the right, and then the sun set. Okay, so what did we learn today? We learned about that distinction between a delay in the rain season. We go incrementally. We start with basic fast days, and we proceed upward until we get to the most serious and severe steps that we take. But if there's a shini atev, an abrupt change in nature, which in case is a clear sign from a shemayim, is totally something unnatural, then we go straight into high gear, masrin alei miyad. We learned about a makam alechas, a traveling makam, something which can spread to other areas, that the other areas have to be concerned as well. We don't complain about an abundance of toiva. We have a story of Chanya Ma'agel. They're fasting and it's raining. What do they do now? Well, it depends if it's before or after Chatzos. We learned about the low-level hunger, which is Batzoris, the famine, which is Kafna, which requires more drastic measures. What about asking for rain on Shemitah, so that the trees and other plants can grow, or Machlekes? We learned the mala, the benefit in having a proper amount and timely rains. And concluded with the two nisim that happened with Nagdim and Megurion, the rain and then sky clearing up and the sun standing still, which was a show of love from Hashem to us Yisrael, who are His beloved, Ahuvim Ba'olamei. Kol Tov to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.